So, we are going to continue this. Hypothetically, this week we was going to get new internet on Tuesday. But with, hope the guy has a four-wheel drive, you know, if we get that snow. You know, we'll see. So hopefully we can upgrade some things here, but amen. And we couldn't do Facebook Live last week. We had to do it later on, so we uploaded. But hopefully this week everything worked, and I found a workaround. You know, we weren't the only ministry or church having trouble with that, with the Facebook app. I don't know if it was silence and free speech or what was going on, but better not go there today, had I yet, so amen. We live in turbulent times. All right, let's, if you want, open your Bibles, you can open to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. You know, we're talking today again about Jabez, and this is part 3 of our installment, and we're going to be talking about the presence of God, and how important that is in a Christian's life. See, the world says that Christianity is a crutch. You know, I've done a lot of evangelism, and, you know, and that's been a comment that's been made to me, that Christianity is a crutch. But, you know, the church, you know, or Christianity to us, it's life. You know, that's where we get the real life and what it's all about, that new life. And, you know, getting into God's presence is where we need to be, because that is something that we have to make an effort, shall we say. We have to make time. We have to do something to be able to get closer to God. You know, hopefully, you know, we just don't take our relationship for granted, you know, with God. I mean, a lot of people, sometimes when we take relationships for granted, you know, they usually fall apart. Now, I know I'm not talking about eternal security here, but I'm talking about the idea of being able to get closer to God. And really, that's the important thing, you know, that you and I need to really press into. Because the Bible says that in His presence, you know, is fullness of joy. And I think we all could use a little more joy in our life. And to me, getting in the presence of God is addictive. Once you really get a touch from God, I mean, there's a lot of addictions out there, and most of the addictions in this world, if not, you know, in the world, all of them are usually bad. But see, for a Christian to get addicted to the presence of God and not letting anything get in our way of keeping us from that is very important. To me, the more you get of His presence, the more you want. And there's a reason for that, and we're going to explore that today. Now, a real bit of recap for those who maybe missed some of the messages. You know, Jabez, you know, he wasn't mentioned in the genealogy. You know, he's found right through a bunch of names, but he was looked over. As a matter of fact, his mom had trouble in the pregnancy, especially giving birth, and she named him Pain. So he went through life that every time he heard somebody call his name, the word pain probably went through his head. You know, it's kind of like you being named loser or ugly. Hey, ugly. Has anybody ever, I mean, you don't like those names, right? Nobody does. So, you know, we need to understand what he was going through. The things in his life, you know, that label. But Jabez didn't let that label hold him back. As a matter of fact, you know, it made him press in harder. It made him really go after God. And I'll be honest, if you study a lot of things in church history and different things, those people who went through a lot of problems in their life really get into God. And they really go after Him. People who God has maybe healed from a life and death or a debilitating disease, they really go after God. Those who get saved from a broken relationships and home and different things, they really go after God. We need to have that same passion. No matter, maybe we haven't never had any problems. I mean, very few people can say that, but maybe our problems weren't that bad. But still, we need to go after God with that same desire, that same passion. Now, the Bible says that Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. So he didn't let the fact that, you know, all his brothers, you know, they probably got good names. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever felt that way? All my sisters, you know, when I was growing up, they got everything. You know, no, really, I did. I was a favorite. But anyway, they're probably. But, you know, this is just for illustrative points. You know, but, you know, but what he did is that he didn't let that family name or that family curse that was put upon him hold him back. He became more honorable, meaning he went the extra mile. And that's what really taps us into God's blessing. Now, week one, we looked at Jabez asked. Now, Jabez prayed to God, and God answered the prayer. So I think we can learn some things from that. You know, week one, it says he asked God for more blessing. More blessing. And that's a good thing. I think we need more blessing, because the more blessing we have, the more of a blessing we can be to others. And like I mentioned, you know, that day that, you know, if somebody has a great financial need, but you don't have, if you're not blessed financially, there's not a whole lot you can do in that situation. But if you have been blessed, then you can be a blessing. Last week we looked at influence, on how Jabez wanted his borders enlarged. He wanted to have more influence. And I believe the church has kind of been hemmed in, you know, for a long time. We've let that saying, that evil saying, separation of church and state, telling us to shut up, stay in the building, you know, don't make any waves out here. See, nothing could be farther from the truth. God has called us to make his enemies his footstool. God has called us to go out and preach life to a dying world. And you can't do it just in here. We got to go out in the world. You know, I don't believe the church should be controlling the government, but there need to be Christians in government. There need to be Christians calling the shots and making decisions according to God's word. We need to pray and do more about that. Well, today we're going to look at his presence, and this is very important, you know, to be able to get into God's presence, because like I mentioned, it's fullness of joy, and we're going to look at a lot of different blessings that you and I can achieve, you know, from God, you know, for getting into his presence. The scripture is 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. It says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother named him Jabez, saying, because I bore him with pain. Now Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, that it may not pain me. And God granted him what he requested. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for a special stirring today. I thank you for the anointing and the unction of the Holy Ghost. Lord, we thank you for your gifts to be in operation today. We bind up the devil from trying to steal the word out of our heart. Lord, we just want to be changed. We want the word of God to be like a hammer, Lord, that just breaks the rock, the hardness in our life. And Lord, I yield to the gift you put inside of me. I use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, there we see that Jabez prayed several things, basically four. And we're going to look at number three today, and it's talking about the hand of God. Now, I know that in Scripture there is a place where the hand of God showed up there in, I think, Babylon or Medo-Persia, when he wrote on the wall, and it kind of mentioned that king was going to die, and he did. So, but usually the hand of God means a good thing. You know, we're not looking for the bad thing. You know what I'm saying? So we want the hand of God. And I'll be honest, growing up all my life, I knew that God's hand was upon me, even though my heart was not with him. You know, God has, you know, delivered me from death. I don't know how many times, one end over in car wreck, and a lot of different silly stuff I was doing. You know, but I always knew that through that process, that somehow, some way, God had his hand on me, but I didn't know why. And so it wasn't till my 20s that I really went after that. Now, first I want to kind of clarify, you know, why we need the hand of God, why we need God's presence in our life. Now, Jabez already prayed for more stuff, you know what I mean? So to me, when we have, I want to go back one slide, when we have more stuff in our life, we're going to need more help. More help. We need more of God's presence to be able to, you know, manage the resources that we're praying for. Now, I don't know about you, have you ever thought about this question? Can you ever or can we ever get too much of God in our life? You know, it depends on what side of the coin you're on. You know, a sinner, they would probably say, you know, that yes, you can have too much of God because God cramps my style. And that's how I thought of it sometimes growing up. Because what I thought I knew about God, I knew that if I asked God to take control of my life, I would not probably get to be able to go and do some of the things that my flesh wanted to do. And so those things, you know, it would cramp my style. Now, on the other hand, as a Christian, you know, I look at it from a different place, and I believe everybody else does too. We would all say, no, I you can never have too much of God. Because we need more of His presence. We live in a world, you know, that is so confused. So many things are going on around us that we need some clarity in our life. And see, to me, following God doesn't cramp our style. Following God becomes our style. And I've always said this, the Christian life is the best life there is. Amen. It's the best life. Only number two is being married. Now, I know that sounds kind of bad to some, but if you don't have God, there's a good chance you may not be married. You know what I mean? I believe you need God in your marriage. I mean, it's kind of crazy how you can get two people that think totally opposite to live together and, you know, for a long time. I mean, me and my wife are opposite, so we've had to learn a lot over the years. You know what I mean? We had to learn a lot quick, and sometimes it was quicker than others, you know. But I'm so glad, you know, that we paid attention along the way. You know what I mean? Because the married life is good too. And if maybe you're not married right now and you want to, I just believe in Jesus' name, God's going to bring somebody godly in your life. But the Christian life, the life of serving God and being with God and having God in our life, knowing that the Creator of the heavens and earth came and He put purpose inside of us, that we're not just here by chance, we're just not some accident. Now, some people might feel like they're an accident waiting to happen. You know what I mean? You know, I tell people I'm kind of like cayenne pepper. A little bit of me goes a long way. I know that, so I have to hold back sometimes because I can get carried away in some things. But, you know, I want following God to become my style. That's just the way I roll. That's the way I do things. See, the more, the deeper that we get in God, I've found is the more dependent we come upon Him. See, you know, the more we get in there, for me, I just find out how insignificant or how insufficient my capabilities are without having the hand of God upon me. Because as I become more, I have more, things in my life that I have to take care of, I have more responsibility, I just know that I become more dependent on God and how important it is. And I pray that you get to that place yourself, you know, because I've done life without God and I've done life with God, and with God's better. Because I found out the way of the transgressor is hard. It's hard out there. Now, this is kind of a little deviation, not too far away. I just kind of wanted to give an illustration and hopefully we'll get it. You know, there's a difference I found out in life between obtaining something and maintaining something. And that's why we need more of God's presence in our life. You know, just a quick illustration most of us can probably get. You know, some people maybe buy something that they can't handle. You know what I mean? Financially. Okay? You know, through the years of ministry, I've watched people. I mean, some people may buy a house that's more than they can handle, the payments. You know, we about build a building bigger than we can handle. A lot of pressure, a lot of stress over the years. We got her done, praise God. It's been a load off my mind. You know, having to, you know, believe, you know, it's hard trusting other people's generosity sometimes. You know what I mean? To put yourself in that position. But, you know, God's been faithful. I thank God for that. You know, I've watched young people just get out of school and they buy more car than they can pay. See, they obtain it, they get enough money, and they put it down for the down payment. But they forget that every month they have to make another payment. And see, sometimes in life, when we ask God, for more stuff, you know, and usually God won't give us more than we can handle. I do believe that. But sometimes we can get in the flesh and get out ahead of God. And then we get into stuff, and then we get ourselves into trouble. And it's important that we kind of understand that, because, you know, God, you know, wants us to be free enough. I thank God, you know, I live within my means, because I don't fret about finances. I don't fret about different things, because I've learned what it's like to be anxious, and I don't want to go there no more. So I try to stay in my lane. You know what I mean? I try to stay with what God gives me. Now, I do know that as I get into his presence, you know, I pray this all the time for myself. You know, I pray that God increase my competence so you can increase my capacity. Because if I go after more capacity, I need to have more competence, or I will not be able to maintain that capacity. And see, I've lost a lot of people, you know, get in over their head, and it can be like that. You know, a lot of ministers, you know, some, this probably don't pertain to any, I know it won't pertain to anybody here, but back in the, you know, the 80s, you know, back in the good old days, you know, it was a lot of people, ministers, you had to have a plane, you know what I'm saying? A lot of the traveling ministers, you know, they didn't want to fly coach or fly on regular travel. They wanted the freedom to come and go as they please, okay? So, you know, I heard a lot of them say, well, they believed God, you know, and the money came in for a plane. Well, they couldn't maintain that. It put them under so much stress that they had to get rid of it. They couldn't maintain it. It wasn't really God. It's the fact they was just trying to keep up with some other preacher, you know what I mean? This other preacher's got one, so I want one. You know, I mean, that's no reason to get something because somebody else has it. You know, you just get it because, but if you stay in the presence of God, you know, we won't make those unwise decisions and get in over our head. You know, I love living where I pray to God for a blessing. I have to pray to God for miracles all the time, you know what I mean? Some people wake up every day just because of some crazy decisions they made. They got to believe God for a miracle every day or they just won't get through the day. So we need to grow into our inheritance. It's one thing to get the down payment, but it's another thing to make the ongoing payments. You know, we need to grow into our inheritance. So hopefully that maybe helped somebody there. You know, if we ask God for more blessing and influence, then we better ask for more of Him. You know, because I found out that whatever we fail to maintain will fall apart. You know. I mean, this is a little more practical. I know some of y'all ain't believing for an airplane, but how many of you ever believe for maybe a woman that's a little out of their class sometimes? You know what I mean? There's some guys I've watched do that, you know. Ooh, she's pretty, you know. I want that one, you know. But they don't really take a chance to get to go. You know, beauty's only on the outside. Anybody ever figure that out? You know, you want to get a pretty one on the inside too. You know, so they do all they can. They take them out to eat and they do all this entertaining and all these things to say, "Ooh, hey, I'm a lot of fun." You know what I'm saying? You know, I couldn't maintain that. I'm not. You know, I know that. You know, but they do all this stuff and they say, "Oh, I got this girl." Well, now they got to keep her. They got to keep her happy. And see, that's what gets them into trouble because they go out there. Now I'm going to use the illustration here of Moses. Now, Moses, you know, he's got a cool name. I always wanted to be called Moses, but I'm not cool enough. I don't want to change my name, you know. But, you know, I just like Moses. But Moses, you know, started out, I mean, and Pharaoh, he was an evil man. I mean, anybody wants to put babies to death. I mean, he just, it was just ugly. And it, you know, it came back to haunt him later on. But the idea was, you know, we know Moses was put in a basket, floated down the Nile, and then, you know, he was saved by a Pharaoh's daughter, and then, you know, he was raised in the castle, the palace, shall we say. Well, then, but inside of him, see, God had a call. God had something going on in there, just like something's going on inside of you. But evidently, he didn't have enough a presence of God to know what to do. So what he did is he saw an Egyptian, you know, being mean to some Hebrew guys, and he killed him, then buried him. Well, it came known that Moses had done that, even though he was, you know, pretty well connected, it was still, he's in trouble. So he had to skedaddle and run. And so he went off, and then he met Jethro. That's another cool name. But anyway, Jethro, and then he ended up marrying one of his daughters, and then Moses went out and he started taking care of sheep, you know. And, you know, he, to be honest, he probably didn't need a lot of God to take care of sheep, you know what I mean? Even though sheep are kind of stupid sometimes. I'm sorry if you got a sheep. But he didn't need a lot of God all the time. But then all of a sudden God showed up and God said, "It's time." And we know about the burning bush. That was the presence of God. He was stepping into something big. He had to go and deliver God's people, something that God put inside of him a long time ago. And that was the time. So now God had to reveal himself to him, to show him, you know, what he needed to do. And then through a process of time of leading those people out of that country, Moses came to the conclusion that he told God, God, unless your presence go, I won't go. And see, that's how, where we need to get. God, unless you're, and if you're not in it, I don't want to go. I don't want to be a part of it. Because I know for a fact, if God's not in it, we won't win it. It's gonna come back to get us, you know, in the long run. So we need to be careful because, and the idea is that, you know, when Moses got into that, God's hand was really upon him, you know, miracles started to happen. You know, all the different plagues started to come upon Egypt. You say, that was mean of God. Well, you know, it wasn't so nice of the Egyptians to kill all those babies either. They opened the door for the curse to come upon them, killing babies, and how that works. And we as a nation need to repent of what we do and what we've done. So, we tap into God's power when we tap into his presence. That's where we get that anointing. That's where we start to stir that stuff up inside of us and how important it is. You know, when we spend time in God's presence, we start to get on his schedule. We're not ahead, we're not behind, but right on time. And that's what we need to do. Because we all have probably dreams, desires, ideas, what we want to do, but we need to stay connected to God and how important it is, because we all need the hand of God, like Jabez prayed. He knew he wanted the hand of God upon him. Okay, that's my next point, the idea of the hand of God. Okay, now back in the day, this may be dated for too many people, they may not quite grasp it, but you know, back in the day, some people, if they didn't want to hear something, they said, talk to the hand. Remember that, or am I too old for y'all? You know, they said, talk to the hand. And see, that's what the world says to God. I don't want nothing that you have to say. You're not telling me what to do. You know, and the sad thing is, there's a lot of fleshly Christians that say the same thing. You know, have a rebellious attitude and don't want to listen to the authority of God's word in their life. And it's important we don't get that way. Okay, now, see, the world doesn't have a clue about the potential of being in God's presence. You know, I've recognized that my whole life and how important it is to be in God's presence. Now, something I've done, just something kind of, you know, I don't want to get political, but sometimes you just can't help it. Ever since the election, I've stayed away from the news, man. I mean, I pick up bits and pieces, but you know what I've done? I just go into my prayer room, get up early in the morning, and I spend, you know, I feel cheated if I don't get an hour and a half or 2 hours. I started to get up earlier, and instead of going out and turning the TV on and watching the same news cycle that makes you feel anxious on the inside, I stayed away from that. Might say I'm uninformed, but I still pick up stuff from people, and I'll be honest, I'm getting a lot more good stuff, you know? I don't feel anxious anymore. I feel at peace. I'm excited about the day. And so it all started by spending more time with God. And see, change takes place in the presence of God. That's where change starts to happen. You know, God can do something in an instant what takes us years to obtain. And it's important that we see the importance. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. Like I've said before, I don't want to. Sometimes preachers can make it sound so good that people get discouraged when it don't happen to them every time. It's not like that every time. I ain't going to say that angels show up and help me get dressed and, you know, and all this stuff. No. I mean, I pray, and sometimes it's drier than cracker juice, like I say. You know, but I still hang in there because I know there's something there. Amen. I know that I have the potential. And I have learned different techniques or went through different techniques in my life of how I can more enhance the presence of God. And so I can feel his presence, you know, when he comes. But, you know, it just doesn't happen unless you go after it. See, it's a metamorphic phenomenon. Now, it took me a while to learn that one. A metamorphic phenomenon takes place and we're transformed into the new creation. It's like that caterpillar butterfly I've been kind of talking about. You know, that's what happens. And see, God wants to bring change to each of our lives. And I've been saved a long time and I'm still changing. Some of y'all think you ought to change faster. I'm trying. You know, I'm doing what I can. You know what I mean? But I mean, you know, we all need that. Elbow somebody right now if they need to change. No, don't do that if they need to change. You know, we don't want to do that. But through Jesus, we have the ability to soar instead of sink, love instead of hate, and walk in life instead of death. That's how important it is that we get our information from God and start to walk in that. You know, I'll be honest, people, you know, that I used to irritate the heck out of me don't irritate me near as bad now. Maybe just a smidgen, I'm not going to lie. They still irritate. But, you know, I've been praying for some people and their Facebook posts been getting better. You know what I mean? They haven't been so evil, you know, saying those mean things about conservatives and all this stuff. You know, just kind of been praying and just spending time with God and wanting to see, you know, things change. See, our life doesn't mingle with His, but His life transforms us into the image of Christ so that we can draw people to Him. See, our life doesn't rub off on God. God's life rubs off on us. And we start to be transformed. That's what it's about. When we can respond in a Christian way, when we've been wronged, that's when you know you've started to walk in the true life. We all get in the flesh. Everybody does, makes mistakes. Everybody, you know, we say things we don't want to, do things we don't want to. But I'll tell you what, I have found that if we spend more time in His presence, it does rub off on us and it helps us to be more gracious to those who don't deserve that grace that we bestow upon them. We start to pray for them. You know, oh, I had a funny joke there, but I'd rather not do that. Okay, I'm going to do it. No, I better not. It's political. You know, like Nancy Pelosi used to pray for Trump. No, we pray nicer than that. I don't know what she prayed for Trump, but I'm sure it wasn't, you know, totally. You know, you can't pray for somebody and then impeach them. That's just an illustration. I'm just telling you. You can't pray for somebody like that. Because if you're really praying for somebody, you're starting to love that person. I hope that was a good illustration that we all can understand. We need to get back to being civil to each person just because they disagree with us. Yes. That's the mark of a Christian. And that's where we need to get. Because right now, we're not the light of the world if we respond in the wrong way. Whew. Glad that's out of there. Okay. Now, here's a couple positive things. I'm going to try to pick up pace here a little bit. That we get by being in the presence of God or the hand of God upon us. You know, first we get direction. We all need direction. Psalms 139:10 says, even there your hand will lead me and your right hand will lay a hold of me. See, God will guide us as we spend time in His presence. You know, most people just go by, you know, by guess or by golly. You know what I mean? You know, just whatever happens, happens. You know, but if we spend time in His presence, you know, and here's what I found. You know, we need to linger in His presence, and then we'll start to get clarity for our lives. And we're going to go into time management here in a little bit. But the idea of what it means to be able to spend some time with God and to get clear direction, because the world is depending on us to be able to bring light to them. Next, the idea of security. Security. John 10:29 says, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. The idea of what we need is security. So we're in God's presence. It brings safety and security to our lives on how important it is. You know, we need to remind the devil, now remember this, we need to remind the devil that he has to go through God to get to you. Because God stands between us and them. That blood of Jesus, the power that's in the blood. Amen. You know, and God is our protector. He's the one that's going to bring security to our life. And also the hand of God, what it does, it brings approval and acceptance. When we're a Christian, we should not have any misgivings or any ideas that we don't belong in the body of Christ or we don't belong in a certain fellowship with people. And we should feel just as good as they do, just as good because God lives inside of us. I've been accepted. And if other people don't accept me, that's fine. Be honest, I'm very, very, very hard to impress now. Because once I come in relationship with God, it takes a whole lot to impress me anymore. Because there's nobody that can measure up to God. And I take confidence in that. Next, this idea of exaltation. Everybody likes to be lifted up. 1 Peter 5, 6 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you at the proper time. If we let God promote us, man cannot demote us. God's got to lift us up, though. We need to stop trying to seek to clamor and step on people to climb the ladder of success. Let God promote us. But that only happens when we humble ourselves under God, saying, God, you have control of my life. You're the one that I'm going to follow. You're the one that I need in my life. I want you. And you know, like Jesus said, you know, don't go in and sit at the best spot. You know, sit down a little lower. Let him promote you. You know, let God be the one who puts his hand on you and brings you up. Next is the idea of protection, how important protection is in our life. We live in troubling times. You know, Ezra, it's kind of a longer passage, but it says in Ezra chapter 8, verse 21 and 23, he said, then I proclaimed the fast there at the river Ahava. Now, I'm not sure that's how you pronounce that, but anyway, we'll move on. That we might humble ourselves before God to seek him for a safe journey for us, our little ones and our possessions. For I was ashamed to request from the king troops and horsemen to protect us from the enemy on the way, because we had said to the king, the hand of our God is favorably disposed to all those who seek him, but his power and his anger are against all those who forsake him. So we fasted and we sought our God concerning this matter, and he listened to our entreaty. See, God will protect us from the enemy. You know, it is kind of humbling. You know, he's probably in there boasting about how big his God is, how tough his God is. And, you know, but then God, you know, he felt ashamed to ask for help, you know, because he knew God could take care of him. And see, we need to make sure that we understand that we know that God can protect us and walk over us. You know, he will protect us from the enemy. He gives us armor of God, and the armor of God is both for offense and defense, and we need to use them both accordingly. Lastly, a thing that God, and then there's more, but I just went with these, about the idea of the hand of God, is God gives us revelation. See, there's two things we can operate by. We can operate by information or revelation. Now, information's okay. I'm not going to diss it. It's important to have information in life. I mean, but revelation's a whole lot better. See, the world can't get revelation from God like you and I can. See, we have that potential where we can tap into receiving from God and how important that is. So what the scripture is, Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 3, he was a prophet, and it says, the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel the priest, son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar, and there the hand of God came upon him. You know, I thank God for the well, but I take joy in the river. I love God for the joy. The wells are representative of our revelation, or our salvation, I'm sorry. It's for the salvation that we have with God, and the story of the woman at the well, and all that goes into that. But the idea of having the river, we need to ask God for more. You know, don't settle for a well when there's a river that's flowing out there that you and I can tap into. And that river is flowing. It wants to flow into us and bring God's revelation that he has for the last days for his church that's on the earth today. See, that river of revelation knowledge runs from the presence of God. And that's where we have to go. We can't get it anywhere else. You know, hey, it's good singing songs. I sing songs, praise God. It's good praying. But, you know, sometimes we just got to get there in the presence of God and whatever it takes to bring that revelation starting to flow through us. I'll tell you what, God speaks just in a second sometimes. You know, that's how God does for me. He'll just give me words and different things, and you know, and he'll speak to me, and I write them down because I know, you know, praise God, I have a, you know, I used to have a good memory, but you know, like I've always taught in Bible school, and I kept this one. He said, the shortest pencil is better than the longest memory. You know what I'm saying? So write stuff down. If God speaks to you, and then you can pray over it. I know some things that God put in my spirit here at the first of the year, some things that I want to accomplish for his kingdom, and I can't do it on my own. I probably need some help. And I do need a lot of help from God. And those things are important to me because I know that it's going to make a difference in other people's lives. Okay, lastly, the presence is our present. The presence is our present. You know, life can get complicated. And to me, sometimes life can become a tug of war and we're the rope. Have you ever felt that way? Just pulled so many different directions. So many different things going on, just clamoring for a piece of us. You know, so, you know, we need to make sure that we don't allow ourselves to get, you know, distracted. You know, like I said, unless God's in it, we won't win it. And we got to make sure that we're with God. See, to me, we have an advantage over the world. Like I said, you know, the Christian, you know, has the presence of God. It has the leading of God, where he can lead us by his Spirit and give us revelation and things that we need to know. But to do that, we have to get up close and personal. And we have to have confidence that by the blood of Jesus, you and I can go into his presence. That God's not pushing us away, but God's trying to bring us in. God's trying to bring us close to him. You know, I don't understand it either, why he wants to spend so much time with me, but he does. And what's amazing is God has the capability or capacity to spend time with all of us at the same time. He's God. And it's amazing the things that he wants to do and the things that he wants to reveal. But he wants to get close to us. And I'll be honest, you need to find a place where there's no interruptions. You need to find that. That's part of your job. You know, I thank you. You know, like I say, you know, some people say, you know, because they don't get up early enough and or whatever, and they stay up too late. You know that. I mean, there's a, you study all the prayer warriors and all the great preachers, a lot of them, you know, they didn't stay up too late because they wanted to get up early. Because I'll be honest, people, if you wait too late to wake up and then you rush and put your clothes on, you rush and grab something to eat, and then you rush to work, you just rushed yourself past God. I guarantee that. So if you want to have the presence of God, you have to get up a little earlier. You may have to go to bed a little earlier. So you can chisel that time out of your schedule, because there's so many people clamoring for your attention, especially if you have little kids and different things. It's hard. It's harder for you to do that, but you have to try to make it. Now, have you guys ever been in a conversation with somebody and you just loved it? I mean, I was talking to somebody the other day, and man, I was really getting into this conversation. It was really good. It was fun. You know what happened? Somebody walked up and they interrupted us. It happens. But it changed the total dynamic of that conversation with me and that other person. I felt cheated. I missed out on something good. But see, it's like that with God. We need to get to a place where there's no interruption, because there's always going to be something. You know, either your phone's going to go off or you know, a phone's ring or you get a text or something. They do have a mute button, amen? There even is a little do not disturb thing in there you can hit, and you won't get bothered at all. But you got to get to a place, if you're spending time in the presence of God, and however long it works for you is fine. I mean, I threw out, you know, just because I, you know, enjoy getting up now at, you know, 4 or 5 o'clock and spending more time with God, because I'll be honest, if I wait, you know, once I hit 7 o'clock, I'm in go time. I have to be thinking, because if I want to be somewhere, just the way I'm wired, I want to be there by 8. You know what I mean? If I'm coming to the church to study, I'm here by 8. If I'm going to go do something else, I say 8 o'clock is when I start. That's just the way it is. I've done it for years, and that's just how I roll. Well, if I wait till, you know, 7 o'clock to wake up and roll out of bed, dude, I'm not spending no time with God. I ain't got time. Especially if I have to be somewhere. And so we need to be mindful of those things. You know, we need to not let anything come in and interrupt us, so that keeps us away. Lastly, is kind of what I'm talking about. It just takes time. We need to make time. Quality time is important, but quantity time is too. You know, why eat a snack when you can get a meal? Think about it. Hey, I'm a snacker, but I like a meal too. And that's important that we get ourselves to that. You know, most Christians never get past the hors d'oeuvres to the main course when they're spending time with the Lord. You know, and it's important that we do that. See, there are legitimate reasons why we need to spend time in the presence of God. And we need to stop making excuses why we can't and start and find solutions why we can. And that's your assignment for this week. Amen? That we try to find ways to get better. You know, maybe coming to this freedom class tonight would be good in checking it out. Trying to, you know, learn more about God. You know, how to be free. Because I'll be honest, your biggest enemy is yourself. You know, a lot of people blame everything on the devil, but really our flesh. Our flesh is because that's who we live with every day. You know what I'm saying? We live in our flesh, and we have to overcome it. Amen? Let's pray.